What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 9th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Walter Bright was the roundup today. That is for Brandon Walter of the Astros. Do you not know who that is? Well, he made his second career game. I think it was start. We had three innings prior, and this was six innings, 200 runs, six hits, zero walks, and five Ks against Cleveland. Got the no decision. Think of him as a Ryan Yarbrough type. He throws soft. It's like 91 or so with an 88 mile per hour cutter. And that's about it for the changeup going down. That's pretty good, but it was a low strike rate, but it was very well spotted right at the bottom of the zone to right-handers. Sweeper, that was fine as well. But think of him as that Ryan Yarbrough trying to throw these slower pitches and gain them out. Honestly, that's it. It's not really an exciting set of skills. It's not a overwhelming starter that deserves and demands that he has success on a given night. I don't love it. So, yeah, Brandon Walter, I think you will get opportunities to do well. And if you're looking for someone that just throws strikes or is in a situation where they could get a win, maybe five, six innings, that's Brandon Walter. But if you're looking for that big new Astro who's going to be that sneaky starting pitcher, I don't think that Brandon Walter is that. He gets the Twins next. That just isn't for me. Paul Skenes aces gonna ace, and he was incredible, and that's amazing. Freddy Peralta did well against the Padres. This was pretty much a changeup working well against lefties, and then the breaker's not really there, but we're happy with it. We keep going there. Nothing new. Jack Flaherty did well against the Cubs. Six innings of zero runs against, and got the win, rather. What's interesting here is he got nine strikeouts and five base runners. Is that the fastball and curveball were really the winners, with the fastball going 17 called strikes. Oh my gosh. It was at 93, not sub 92, which is great. His slider had 7/9 strikes, which is cool, and didn't allow a hit. And the curve did allow some hits, but 41% CSW. Awesome. We're cool here, and doing this against the Cubs is an amazing feat as well. So he continues to be that cherry bomb. Ryan Burgert against the Brewers. If you remember last time, I led with the Burgert locker talking about Ryan as the lead for the SP roundup. And this was kind of cool. Four seamers upstairs. That's nice. And he had good sliders down to right-handers, so we didn't really get those chases that you want to see. Not much of a third pitch. He utilized sweepers to lefties. And Ryan Burgert doing that, like, that doesn't work, does it? As a right-hander? It's not quite the thing that I want to go for, especially when facing lefties in the future. Thing is, though, this is a play for down the road because it's the Diamondbacks and it's the Dodgers next, and you absolutely don't want Ryan Burgert for that. But at least there's some promise here that four seamers up and the slider down and hopefully something else in the mix can make him a viable arm as a streamer when he does get those better matchups. And of course, he'll be more experienced down the road. Jacob Lopez has had some success as a young arm in this league so far, and went against the Orioles, threw 91 pitches, but only survived four innings. Zero runs, four hits, two walks, and five Ks, though. So it wasn't so bad. 125 whip, but we'll take it if you actually did it. I don't really love what he does. I still am very about it. I feel as if the floor is too low, and he's not this overwhelming, efficient guy. So I don't really feel we need to go after Jacob Lopez. The Marlins did a bullpen game, and that's something. Clayton Kershaw was a streamer. I know. Wild. Peelbot picked him as the streaming pick, and he had his best outing. Five innings, 100 runs, six hits, zero walks, and seven Ks against the Cardinals for a win. The slider, 86 miles per hour, not like 88, 89. Even pushing, nah, really, 88, 89 is where it lasted when he was Tatiaga, the ace that is always going to ace. And that was really good here for 9/32 whiffs. However, five of his six hits allowed were on that slider, but it was a 47% CSW. So the four-seamer, though, only allowed one hit, obviously, and tried to be that foundational pitch, but it was a 47% strike rate. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, I don't buy this, really. I don't think that Clayton Kershaw is suddenly a command artist like he used to be. He'll get the Giants on Sunday. And if you remember, he hit that home run. Of course, that one, I think he won a complete game shutout with a home run one day. You can't do that anymore. So it's questionable. It could work. It's possible. I'm just not really going to go for this. I think that Clayton Kershaw is not this overwhelmingly good pitcher. I think the fastball is way too hittable and not nearly as good as it used to be, and he needs that slider to be pristine as possible to survive like he did here. He gets the Nationals after that start against the Giants, and that's good because they're not very good against the left-hander, so I'm okay with that one, but the Giants won, even though the Giants aren't that great, I think I'd avoid. Christopher Sanchez got a gallows pole, 21 whiffs against the Pirates in seven innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. We're happy to see fewer hits than innings. That's really the biggest thing with Sanchez. The hit per nine is still going to be generally elevated as he's not super incredible at locating that sinker on the edges. He throws strikes with it, but it can be very hittable. And that changeup was still very much in the zone and not really out of it, but we did get a fair number of whiffs on it. If you remember in the spring, we were talking about Christopher Sanchez going 96 miles per hour, if not higher, and his goal was to sit 96 this year. We saw under 95, 94.8, which is very close to the 94.5 we saw last year. And then you think to yourself, oh, this is essentially Christopher Sanchez from last year. And that was a near 20% strikeout rate with a 120 whip and a good enough ERA. But yeah, it's too close to that for me to feel really confident moving forward. And this all really started when he had the forearm issue that he said he's never had a feeling like this in his arm before, but he didn't miss any time. It was strange, and he's clearly good enough to continue starting. But yeah, I think my outlook for the entire year is a little worse than you would think after 7 innings, 2 runs, and 9 strikeouts. We're still going to keep going with him, of course, but is he a top 20, top 25 guy? No, he's probably like around the 30s, because I think that over time this is going to get worse, especially with that declining velocity. George Kirby returned in a big way. And I mean returned in performance-wise, because this was his third start. 7 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 14 strikeouts for George Kirby. My gosh, 39% CSW. He attacked these right-handers with four-seamers and sinkers incessantly upstairs. But the more important element was him actually tunneling with his slider off of it. And instead of that just being a pitch in the middle of the plate, he got it away. Oh, thank you for doing that. And also actually trying to go in the upper third with your four-seamer and your sinker. We also saw a good amount above the zone too with that four-seamer. Finally, thank you so much. And this was great. We had 4 strikeouts on that slider. We had a 45% CSW as well on that pitch. And I love to see good command Kirby. Not good control Kirby, good command Kirby. It's not always going to be there. I remember last year we had that amazing double-digit strikeout game and didn't quite return after, but good. You're finally feeling all right after holding on to Kirby for so long against the Guardians. Obviously, you're going to go with that. Tanner Bibee, speaking of which, went against the Astros. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Fantastic. We've seen good performance from Bibee a bit in the past month or so, and this one was the most encouraging in my book, as he went around the edges with everything. It wasn't just, all right, here it is in the middle and I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a little bit with the changeup, but he got away with many of those. The sweeper did well away. The cutter was upstairs effectively. 44% chase rate on that sweeper to right-handers. I dig that. I'm still not quite sold that Tanner Bibee has the command we want, but it is 95 to 96 now too. And I'm going to start him in Seattle next time at the tee. So let's hope that he continues forward and continues to get whiffs, because my gosh, he was missing those a lot across this year. So good job, Tanner Bibee. Drew Rasmussen went 6 innings, only 74 pitches. I think we just got to stop thinking about the pitches stuff and just say, hey, is he constantly going 6? He is awesome. Is he going to continue doing that? Probably, because Drew Rasmussen's cutter and sinker and four seamer are just really efficient at earning outs. And here it was against the Marlins, 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Yeah, it's not the prettiest thing, a 3 ERA with a 1.17 whip and only 3 strikeouts, and he didn't even get a win. Still, I mean, he's just really good. I mean, he's not quite an ace because he's not going to give you those strikeouts consistently and push it to like 7-8 games of absolute dominance or something like that. But yeah, you're going to like him. He's a solid Holly. Cool. Michael Lorenzen came through as a streamer on Sunday against the White Sox, got the win, 6 innings, 200 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. And you say, obviously, Nick. Well, not obviously, because he's failed in some good matchups lately. And honestly, this could have gone poorly and Noah Cameron would have been solidified in a 5-man with the Royals. But because he did well, looks like the Royals are sticking with a 6-man No, Cameron's still in it. He's going against the Yankees tomorrow. Or maybe it's today? The next start is Cameron against the Yankees. All right, Lorenzen, you made it tougher for all of us. On the topic of Cameron Quickly, not a good series of matchups in the future for him. I don't actually want to go after Noah Cameron right now. I know it's been so good. If you want to Vargas rule it, fine. But are you really starting him against the Yankees? I don't think I am. So, yeah, this is a case where the Royals guys you want to go after are Reagans, and you want to go after Waka and Lugo. That's cool. Lorenzen, and obviously Bubic, oh my gosh. But Lorenzen, Cameron, not looking so hot right now. And I would not go for Lorenzen against the Athletics. Joe Ryan, ace is going to ace, save for a frustrating moment or two. 5 innings, 200 runs, got the win, 7 base runners, 6 Ks. He didn't actually get his fastball upstairs, led to more foul balls, which is why those 3 walks happened. Don't worry about it. Tyler McGill had a very interesting start in Coors, and I'm really surprised by it. And I have some things I got to tell you about Brady Singer and many more after this break. Tyler McGill in Coors got the win. 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. He went 42% sliders. That is more than the four-seamer. He was the most thrown pitch, obviously, here. And sub 60% strikes on that pitch, with the four-seamer and sinker pretty much being down the pipe or off the plate along the edges. I mean, I'm weirded out by this start. McGill changed the movement profile of that slider in his last start, and it's kind of hard to follow going into Coors now, but he clearly fell in love with it. I don't know if I really want to go after McGill right now. I feel it's so strange. You don't have the four-seamers going upstairs as much. He's right at 7 feet of extension, not like 7.2 or 7.3 or something like that. The slider's strange. It's all weird with Tyler McGill. He gets the Rays next. I think I'm okay with it, but yeah. Brady Singer isn't throwing good sliders. Another game of few whiffs on the pitch. It was 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. So is that 3.6 ERA worth it? Probably not. And 3 over 24 whiffs on sliders is just not the Singer way. It just really isn't. And I know he threw 9 cutters, and that's cool. I'm glad that he's trying other things and expanding it a little bit. But yeah, you gotta get the slider whiff rate back, or I'm just not in on Brady Singer. Trevor Williams, never Trevor, we move on. The White Sox also had a bullpen game like the Marlins, so we move on there. Mike Vassell went 3.1 innings, whatever. Jacob Latz was also a part of a bullpen game. This was the Rangers, but he's a little bit more interesting. 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. That's 7 over his 10 outs by way of the K. Thank you, Don Orsillo. And I kind of dig him. He's a lefty with 94-95 and 18 inches of vert. From the left side, above average extension, like 6.8 or so. And then he has a good changeup that he took down right-handers with. Now, the slider did not get away to lefties, and it really wasn't much of a good time there. But yeah, that fastball-changeup combination is kind of cool. Only 60 pitches. And let's just say that for some reason, they need another starter for the next time he goes. He could get the White Sox on Sunday. Now, this was also the Nationals. And the Nationals are generally worse against left-handers, fine. But if Latz actually goes again and he gets pushed to like 70, 75 pitches, it could kind of be good if you're facing a massive right-handed lineup. Just something to think about. The floor is pretty bad, though, if the four-seamer command isn't the same, because we don't really know, small sample here. He's been pitching out of relief as well, where the changeup has been far worse than what we saw in this one, where misses plenty. Arm side and out of the zone away, and it's just ugh. So I'm curious if he can get any sort of consistency and if he develops over time to be a starter, but for now Jacob Latz is not the guy that you want to go for. Landon Roop against Atlanta got the win. 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. So I'm happy he got the win. 3 runs a little bit annoying because the curveball only went 1 for 41 whiffs, if you can believe it. Lots of called strikes, double digit on that and the sinker here. But he couldn't really come through in 2 strike counts. He didn't really get it out of the zone as much or low underneath it as he has in the past. Also, Atlanta's kind of tough. But he also had 2 over 12 whiffs on the cutter. The cutter showed up. That's kind of cool. I don't really feel like he had a consistent approach with it, but 2 whiffs on it, that's nice. It's more than he had on any other pitch combined. Now, he does get a start against the Dodgers next. So Landon Roop, I'm sorry, I'm not in that. But he does host the Red Sox in Oracle Park and then goes to the White Sox after. So I think we're holding on to Roop past this week. Spencer Strider, I have a lot of things to say about him. I'm going to try and make it short, though. He was at 94.8 on the four-seamer. And back when he was amazing, it was 96.8, right? It was pushing 97. And that also means that the slider is worse. It's at 83 here as opposed to 86. And the overall package of just those two pitches just isn't quite enough to be that stud that he used to be. This was at the Giants. Spencer Strider went 6 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts, and eventually got the loss. So the comparison I made in the roundup is harsh, and I hated it, and I don't really live by it, but it's just something to think about. Where my criticisms of another pitcher is that they have a really good breaking ball, and they throw hard at 96, but that fastball gets hit, it doesn't have good metrics of it, and it's not as effective as we want to be, doesn't get whiffs, right? Well, that pitcher is Ben Brown, who has a different kind of fastball. Spencer Strider has better velocity, well, not better velocity, but better extension and better vert on his. Still, actually, Ben Brown's actually upped his vert a little bit. But what I'm trying to get at here is that you can't just have these two pitches, especially if the four-seamer is not overpowering. 4/51 whiffs on this one for Spencer Strider. Now, the command overall is better than Ben Brown, right? And that's where I'm like, that's the major gap here between the two. But they don't have a third pitch. And Spencer Strider is either needs to do two things. One, he needs to find something else to throw into the mix consistently. And what I mean by that is not like 10%, 15% of the time. I mean something that's like 20, 25%, and then you have the other ones around 35% or something like that. That needs to happen. Or you got to get the velocity back. Because I don't think that Spencer Strider at hovering 95 with this 83, 84 mile per hour slider is the stud of old. Would he be helpful for your teams? Yes. And I'm actually suggesting you sell because I think it's unlikely for Spencer Strider to get back to 96, 97 consistently. That's a tick and a half down, really, is what I'm looking for. 96.5 or so. Really get me over 96 consistently. It's possible. I'm not saying it isn't. But even before the hamstring injury, it was a little, and we haven't seen it get back now. And it's just not that guy. So we'll see. I sincerely hope he does because baseball is better when you have stud pitchers like that. Hunter Dobbins against the Yankees had a bad first inning, kind of settled down after that. He didn't get a single walk or a single strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He sat 97.3, which is over a tick and a half more, but actually I think it was about 2 ticks higher than the 95 he's had previously, or 95 and a half. That said, it was the Yankees, and he just said that he would rather retire than sign with the Yankees. So clearly there was adrenaline here. And guess what? You gotta get him again. No thank you, Hunter Dobbins. Tyler Anderson, if he had a good schedule, I would be all over this. But he went against the Mariners away from the tee. 4.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Changeup was a 50% CSW, but also got punished when it was floated up in the zone. 4 of his 8 hits there. 4-seamer was punished for 4 hits as well. And now he's going to get at Baltimore, which is okay. That's fine. But then at the Bronx of the Yankees, and then hosting the Red Sox, and then at Atlanta. And I guess Baltimore and the Red Sox are fine, but I think that Tyler Anderson is the perfect example of a guy that you can stream so well and effectively if he gets those mediocre teams like the Royals, or he goes against the Nationals as a lefty, or the Pirates, and so on and so forth. Tomoyuki Sugano against the Athletics in Sacre Verde did not go well, and it's because it's Sacre Verde. He's still locating pretty dang well with a splitter down and away to lefties and 4 seamers and cutters up and into them. But the right-handed stuff wasn't as good and so on and so forth. He's a Toby. He gets the Angels, Rays, and Rangers twice. I think that's good. Zach Gallen, a frustrating game. I don't think he pitched as badly as the 6.2 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks will tell you at the Reds. The changeup is actually looking really good against righties. The curve just allowed too many mistakes. And honestly, 52% CSW despite having zero outs on balls in play is kind of interesting. I think he's all right. He also allowed a home run on a slider, and he threw 3 of them. And this is, it's like Boz does this. Maybe it was Gausman. Other guys have these really bad sliders that they randomly throw, and they just get crushed, and they keep doing them, and it's so annoying. Gallen is really struggling with his. He'll get the Padres, and then Coors, and then the White Sox next. He's a hipster, Zach Gallen. I don't feel like you have to start him against the Padres, and if you want to drop him, I get it, but I feel overall that this should be beneficial, those three. Michael McGreevy came up and started against the Dodgers, and it was the Dodgers, so whatever, but he is a good command pitcher. And the next 3 starts from McGreevy with a fantastic defense behind him and throwing 101 pitches in this one are the Brewers, the Reds carpet, So that means he's hosting the Reds in St. Louis and going to Cleveland to face the Guardians. I dig that. I actually think this is a really nice 15-team play. 12-teamers is fine. I don't think that you're going to get many strikeouts from this, but it could be good ratios for you. Maybe you win. He's a very sneaky ad at the moment. Cade Horton did not have a good game against the Tigers. 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Changeup had a 41% CSW and 6 over 17 whiffs as he threw really well against lefties. The breaking ball wasn't as good as we've seen against righties. He's splitting them out, though. Savant's saying that essentially lefties, the breaking ball is a curveball, and then against righties, it's a sweeper. It does look like he's manipulating them. So he's getting more depth against lefties, and he's getting more sweep against righties is what's going on, which is great. 7 over 23 whiffs, but the sweeper wasn't as effective. The curveball was. The four-seamer command was really the one that let him down here, and I think that's going to be better moving forward, especially considering he gets the Pirates and the Brewers in his next two. So Cade Horton, absolutely a hold. Bowden Francis is not. You should not be holding on to Bowden Francis. He did terribly 4 runs in 3.1 innings against the Twins, and you already know this. 5 walks here. Oh my gosh. Carlos Rodon got bamboozled for 2 home runs, 1 in the 5th, and then as he started the 6th inning, it was a hit-by-pitch, a walk, and a 3-run shot. And that's your ball game. Careful, Licorice there. 5 innings of 5 runs. It's unfortunate. What are you going to do? We move on. Chase DeLander against the Mets. 3 innings of 5 runs. And yeah, you don't want to go after Chase DeLander. It was in course, and it's just don't do that. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening through and supporting us here at PitcherList. Consider getting a PL Pro subscription. It is a full 365-day subscription, not for the end of the year. It's a full 100, one full year subscription, not the end of the season, I should say. You can get 15% off with PL Pro Yearly with promo code PODCAST. So go to pitcherlist.com/premium, put in that promo code when you sign up for PL Pro Yearly, and you'll get 15% off. Pretty cool. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.